Rose and I were newlyweds. We were married almost a year when I lost my ring. It was at the end of school. It was literally the last day of school of my second year, and I was about to drive back over the border from Ontario into Michigan. So needless to say, I was freaking out. Right? I retraced all my steps. I walked through all the classes, all the hallways, went back to the cafeteria. I went through, covered every piece. I even went all the way out into the parking lot where I parked the car, and I stared and scoured, and I took every spot I could. I had been, and it was nowhere. I couldn't find it. Everyone was gone for the day. The place was getting quiet. And I had this 3-hour drive ahead of me, alone. I was not looking forward to that phone call. Surprised, sad. It was about what you would think. But Rose was supportive. And we ordered a new one, you know, one size down, so it'd stay on. But unlike the shepherd or the woman in our story today, this one doesn't end with my leaving every stone turned over, right? And my finding my ring, because it was lost and gone for quite some time. But like this story, the heart of the story isn't about the loss itself. It's just a ring, like it's just a coin. It's about a relationship and a connection, because that ring wasn't just a ring, right? But a symbol of our connection to each other. And when Jesus tells his parable, he's telling this great crowd of people who have gathered that there is more to life, to faith, to God, than being lost, right? It's about connecting. This crowd that Jesus is talking to is pretty diverse by now. Up to this point, it's been followers, right? The inner circle, the onlookers and the gawkers, right? And then the hate watchers, right? Those are the Pharisees and the scribes who follow, not because they want to hear him, but because they can't stand him, but they just can't look away. And Jesus is thinning out the crowd. He does that in the last chapter, right? Talking about how hard it is to follow and what is really at stake. He's talking about the cost of discipleship, right? And then he had just also had this uncomfortable dinner with the Pharisees in which he talks about a great feast, a wedding feast. And all of those guests, these supposed friends, come up with lame excuses to skip it. Jesus, of course, we know, is talking about the kingdom of God here, right? And he's saying God is swinging open the doors to the kingdom, to the weak, because the strong are RSVPing no. So now we're grumbling and upset and confused, because who is starting to show up to this great big crowd but those very people of whom Jesus was just speaking in that parable? Here it's the tax collectors and sinners, right? And how do the elites respond, right? This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them. Like it's a bad thing. Luke then launches into a single parable, right? Notice it doesn't say three parables. The sequence we label as the lost sheep, the lost coin, and then the prodigal, lost son. But to the writer of Luke, this is one parable. Perhaps it's three stories, but one lesson, a trinity of teaching. And think about how alike this parable is to all the stuff we've been talking about for the last several weeks. How we have the lost who are missing from the feast, and we have the lost who isn't a sheep, but a coin, right? Part of the economy, the system. Like Jesus healing the man with dropsy and curing his insatiable thirst and confronting the Pharisees in their elitist posture, excluding and dividing around the table, making their own feast while the hungry, the sick, and the lame are left out in the cold. How these two will also line up against that third part of the parable. How the shepherd's concern for the lost sheep matches the father's concern for the son who left him. And then how the woman's concern for her coin is urgent enough to light a lamp and go sweeping and preparing the house in search of a coin, something not even alive. How much that will mirror the father looking for his suddenly rebellious eldest son. This whole thing, it's one big story. And it is so much more than losing something. And it is so much more than finding it again. It's about connection. It's about and what is the place of connection? The table. It's the feast around a common table, like we do every Sunday. We come from our different places with our frustrations and our confusions, and we gather together as one. Where it doesn't matter who's a professor and who's a student, who's an officer and who's an ex-con, it doesn't matter. Here we're the same, right? Well, no, we're not the same, but we're loved. We're invited and welcomed, and every place around this table is deserved. But here's the problem with equality. Right? We have to give it to each other. And I think that's the trouble the Pharisees have with Jesus in hearing what Jesus is saying here, because he was asking them to give up purity and privilege, to break the rules, and to take a stand against their culture's accepted practice. Forgo their financial interest, to jeopardize their very lives with the Roman Empire. And if you're them, what fool would follow Jesus? It would be like throwing everything away. It's easy for us to condemn them for not letting in the riffraff. I mean, it makes sense to us now. Harder to be like the woman and look for them anyway. To be the father and go after the son who makes a scene at that great resurrection party, the Easter celebration, the Eucharistic feast. But I don't think Jesus is only focused on the losing and the finding, the going and the coming, the falling away and the seeking to come home. It's about the connection itself, right? The table and the feast. The feast. This is the point of all the dead coming to life. Of the son who earlier was brought back from the dead so that he and his mom both could be restored to community. Right? When the son who is dead and is restored to life, to the family, to the great feast with a big fatted calf, 16-ounce steaks for everybody? Because it's the feast. Find the sheep, find the coin, then what? Party. Wake the neighbors in the middle of the night. Who cares if they're sleeping? Celebrate, connect, feast. With everybody. With our Black Lives Matter friends and our Trump voting friends and our transgendered friends, and that one friend who seriously won't let it go. I mean, it's been a year. It's been a year. Let it go, buddy. They're all supposed to be here, right? Around this table. It's not for elites and the special and the insiders, blocked by a rude screen. It's a table which welcomes everybody. Right, but here's the thing about the feast. Right? It doesn't just happen here. This table is tied to every table. This feast is tied to every breakfast, lunch, dinner, right? Tea time, coffee break, casual encounter, business meeting, every class and instruction, and any other place in which people connect with one another. And we bring all that with us when we come to this table. And we bring this, what we do from this table, out to every other table we go to. And the hardest part for us here isn't that part where everyone is welcome to this table. As a community, we get that. Our problem is inviting people to it. Giving out those invitations, as it says in chapter 14, to go out at once into the streets and lanes of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame, and invite in the tax collectors and sinners too. For it isn't enough to say everyone is welcome. We need to make sure they know they are invited. Right? So I'm going to invite all of you to a few feasts today, right? A few feasts that are happening, things that are happening in our community shortly. We've got, you know, we have Holy Palooza later today in just a couple of hours, and I hope you join us for that. And then afterward, if you don't have time, I know you've been pressured to think about tickets for barbecue, but don't worry about it. I know I have at least an extra one if you can't make it. So please think about coming to that. And we also have, if you can't come to the barbecue, and then, in case you hadn't heard, we have a Bible study on Thursday nights. We have a lot of fun. If you bring food, you are especially welcome, right? But it's not required. It's not that kind of feast. This is what's happening with us this week, right? You'll hear all about all the other fun stuff we have that you've been invited to already, about the Pumpkin Fest this weekend. And then the following Sunday, the bishop will be here. Connect. Connect with each other. Feast with Jesus. For we make the kingdom where we feast as the kingdom.